The second epistle of Peter, it's small, but it's packed with the Holy Spirit, and it's guiding Peter's hand. Now, Simon Peter, he's a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't it wonderful how the apostles all start off their writings like this, and acknowledging God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? And we're told to greet one another with a kiss, not on the lips, but on the cheeks, and to hug each other and to show some emotion with a big smile and take time to do it. Past couple of Sundays, I've watched people greeting each other after we've been told to stand up and greet, and usually it's like a quick handshake, and then that's it, you know. But I think we should do more, maybe greet less people and ask whether we can pray for them and their family or whatever the occasion is. I've occasionally kissed my elders and they know who they are. I'm still trying to figure out who my elders are. It's hard with this crowd, you know. Exactly. Well, shall we pray? Father God, I ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to discern your word. We thank you, Lord, for our time we're going to be spending worshiping you, and we pray that you bless our time that we spend with you tonight, Father. And as we pray in Jesus' name. Now, 1 Peter is a letter of practical earnestness. It's filled with exhortations, encouragement, and Peter's counsel may sustain you, and it may be just what you need, so that the purity of your faith will bring you praise and glory and honor when Jesus is shown to you. That's in 1:7. Now, Peter was a fisherman, and he wrote these books before his death in 65 A.D. to 70 A.D. And Silas helped write these books. In verse 1:2, Peter writes to Christians living in the world. Christians have a sense that heaven is their real home, and Peter mentions all three members of the Trinity, God the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus Christ. There was a time 16 years ago when I cried out to the Lord. I had a lot of medical problems at that time, and I knew that I had given my life to Christ. I was a teenager then, back in 66, when I accepted Jesus. I was at the Vacation Bible School in the woods of Guerneville in California. I finally knew that Jesus was calling me, and I could still feel the rush of the water came over me when I came up from the water after being baptized. I had some reservations there for a while because there was others being baptized with me, and they were jumping all over the place. And I figured, well, what's wrong with me? I mean, didn't I get the Holy Spirit or what? I began to wonder. I had talked to Pastor Parnell and told him my concerns. And he told me, well, Jack, it was chilly out there last night, so that could be a reason why everybody was jumping all over the place. You know, I called on Jesus, and I still am amazed that after all these years of doing the things that I thought would be my answer, I found out also that when I thought Jesus was long gone from me, and I turned back to him. No, you know, I ran from him. From 74 to 94, I didn't want to have a thing to do with the Lord. And that's why I thought he had abandoned me. But when I turned back to Jesus, I found out that he hadn't abandoned me. He was there all along. It was that time when he was carrying me. And I knew it. How can our hope in Jesus help us endure our trials? Us Christians were guaranteed inheritance based on the truth of God's Word, and Peter reminded us so in 2 Timothy 2, 1-13. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things that you have heard from me among my witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of the life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not in a crowd unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him, and if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, Peter, since Peter's time, 65 AD to 70 AD, was when he was killed, and Jesus was born the 6 to 7 BC when he died. That was 30 years. That's 35 years that Peter was telling everyone around that Jesus was coming back. Still today, we Christians, we're resounding that same message. And you know what? All the prophecies have been fulfilled, and Christ will be coming soon. And like it tells us, everything will be burnt up this time. And thank God, we're already saved. And we have assurances Jesus made to us in Romans 8, 13 and 17, and Romans 8, 27 to 30. We do live in a pagan world, and we are told to live in the world, but not to be of the world. We have been reminded by Peter to live in such a way that the only thing they can accuse us of, is being good. Peter also, in his writings, gives us the assurance. What he is writing to us, we can be assured that he is telling us he followed Jesus, and he was a witness firsthand to all the things Jesus did. We need to always rekindle our love for Jesus, and we need to fellowship with one another. We need to share our faith with others. And we need to attend retreats where everyone is thinking about Jesus. We need to be in Bible study groups. We have a great study group now, and I really enjoy it. We need to be reading our Bibles more, and we definitely need to be in conversations with our Lord, speaking to Him directly. He is more happy when we're doing this than any other time. Since I have been coming here, I have attended the men's retreat every year, and I have to tell you that they've only gotten better every year. This will be my 7th year this year. Peter explained Jesus not coming back this way. For the Lord, one day is the same as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is the same as a day. The Lord isn't slow about keeping his promise, as some people think he is. In fact, God is patient, because he wants everyone to turn from sin, and he doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to come to him. In an open letter to all Christians, Peter revealed that he expected to die soon. And these two books of Peter serves as his last will and testament. He expresses three deep desires. A, that Christians continue growing in the faith. B, that they will reject false teachers. And C, that they would live in patient anticipation of the second coming. Now, he was talking about the false teachers in his time. And apparently they were infiltrating the church. And they were teaching that Jesus had delayed his return so long, and it's obvious that he wasn't coming back. They were making all kinds of excuses, but it seems like it's the same thing today. We're making excuses. We know he's coming back. Peter describes these teachers with blunt condemnation. They are immoral, he says, and the meals they eat with you are spoiled by the shameful and selfish way they carry on. All they think about is having sex with someone else's husband or wife, and there is no end to their wicked deeds. They trick people who are easily fooled, and their minds are filled with greedy thoughts. They are headed for trouble. And 2:13-14. Hope I don't have to make it to the sink. Peter concluded, "Don't let the errors of the evil people lead you down the wrong path and make you lose your balance. Let the wonderful kindness and the understanding that come from the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ to help you to keep on growing." And 3:17-18. You know it isn't any different today than in Peter's time. We can see it so clearly today. The way we as a society are turning our backs on God. We are kicking God out of every area of our society. And it is only the sign of things to come, my friends. Also, did you know that our society today in general, all over the planet, they're acting just like the people did in Noah's time. And we all know that there was only 8 souls that were saved from that time. It's really sad that more people worldwide aren't coming to the Lord in droves. All we can do is continue to pray for them and to continue to preach to everyone on this planet so they all have a chance to accept our Lord and Savior. Jesus didn't want to leave anybody behind again. In 2 Peter 1:5-8, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus." My fellow saints, I don't know about you all, but for myself, I am at least a lot of the time I'm praying to our Lord that He puts my heart and my mind to remain humble. For myself, it doesn't take all that much for me to fall from grace. I, in all honesty, do about a half a dozen or so good things, and I get really puffed up with myself, and then I just seem to hit that proverbial slippery slope. I'm the kind of guy that would rather pull in the horse to get him to do what I want him to do rather than trying to put the horse back together or reinvent the wheel, what have you. I can't thank our Lord enough for everything that He has done for me in this life. I ask our Lord to take away my desire from all the evil things that I did when I was younger. And you know what? He did. I mean, every one of them. And the one that I thought He would really be hard was my mouth. I mean, I just had the worst mouth there was. I had 3- and 4-letter words that ran off my mouth like a running faucet. And I thought I'd never get control of that. But like He tells us in Galatians 5:22-26, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Like I said at the beginning in the upper paragraph, in the first line is, I can't thank our Lord enough. When I think back to when I was just 7 years old, my father was killed by his fellow workers. I guess they had planned on this. He was a pretty good poker player, and so they had decided they were going to kill him after the game. And if it hadn't have been for that one act there, I don't know what would happen. My relatives, they couldn't take all of us kids. There was five brothers and sisters, and they could only take the three youngest ones. And my brother and me were sent to foster homes. And I thank God that I was. Because if I hadn't been, I would have picked up their family values, which were nothing. They didn't believe in God, and they still don't to this very day. And I would have never come to know Jesus or his ways if I hadn't have been brought up in a Christian home. Our God is so great to his word. In Deuteronomy 32:4, he says, He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, God of truth, and without injustice, and righteousness and upright is he. There's Psalms 36:5-7. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains, and your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. In John 14:21, he says, He who has my commandments and keeps my commandments, it is he who loves me. And he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. What is the purpose of the gifts and talents God gives us? The one that comes to me right off the top, the second is like the first. God tells us to love. Actually, God commands us to love. Love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. I don't know how I thought about it, how God command us to do an act. But you know what? He has the right to command us to love. For he gave us his only begotten Son to die for us. And he has that right. He's God. The time is near when all things will end. You might ask how or why, I don't know. We know it's going to be burned up when he comes back the second time. Why should we rejoice in difficult circumstances? Well, we become more Christ-like, one reason. Another is we show our perseverance and it gives us hope. In 2 Peter, he is telling us that the undesirables that are infiltrating the church will continue. And if they're not being called on their teachings and they're not doing anything about them, all their work will not produce any favorable fruit. We today are experiencing the same dilemma. And like most of them, they will try to take as many as they can away from the church. And that's Satan winning the battle. But with honorable teachers doing the battle with their full armor on, we will win the war. Amen. Looking at the events happening worldwide, we begin to see where God is setting the stage for Jesus to come back and rescue all the saints. The existence of weapons of mass destruction that's already here. All will be able to see the witnesses raised and taken up to heaven. Satellite systems are in place. For all this to happen, and it was prophesied. The Antichrist will come out of the EU. Russia, Iraq, Iran, and Syria will attack Israel, and it will appear as though Israel would be wiped out, but not so. Israel would destroy them all. A period of great tribulation will unfold in front of us. Not all of us will die. Some will change in a twinkling of an eye, and others will wait until the dead, which was asleep, rises and they are judged. Romans 5:18-19. Today in the church, a lot of our saints are confessing their sins, and they're asking our Lord to come into their hearts. And they seem to just sit back on their laurels, and they're content with where they are with their walk with Jesus. This isn't the time to be content. With the way things are happening all around us, here and all over the world, I believe that most of us in the church today feel the urgency unfolding. And we all believe that the time for Jesus' second coming is near. You know, all believers must appear before the Bema Seat. It isn't for sin. Our sins have already been atoned for at the cross. The Bema Seat determines our qualifications and our worthiness for positions in the millennial kingdom. What exactly is judged here? Our faithfulness and our obedience here on earth is what's judged. Our works, our fruit, and our words. Our sanctification and our stewardship and our accountability will be looked at. Not only will awards be handed out at the Bema Seat of Christ, but we will also be judged on our fitness and our qualifications to inherit the millennial kingdom. We will see how the events of the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb will impact our lives. We will also see the importance of being prepared, fit and ready for Christ's return. All of this will impact our place of responsibility in the coming kingdom. Apostle Paul was afraid of becoming a castaway, which means unapproved, rejected, and worthless in the eyes of God. It means someone who has failed the test. Imagine if Paul, he felt this way. What about somebody like me or someone else that doesn't have his record? What should we be feeling? I think I'll probably fail the test myself. There are at least a dozen crowns which we are to strive for. All rulers in the kingdom will receive crowns. In 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Says there is the imperishable crown. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, the crown of rejoicing. James 1:12 and Revelations 2:10 is the crown of life. In 1 Peter 5:4, the crown of glory. And in 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness. These are but a few, but the point is, we must take a good look at ourselves and make the choice we have now. All Christians who partake of Christ's life are called overcomers, and we will have a place in Jesus' coming kingdom. Integrating the sanctification process here on earth with the reward of inheritance and the millennial kingdom, that is what we are running the race for here on earth. We can't ever lose sight of the fact which we are only here to please our God, and we also need to keep Him in mind that without the Lord, we will never be enough. Father, give us a deeper understanding and an appreciation and an infectious enthusiasm for You to have done for all of us and for serving You. Show us, Lord, how You would have us to love one another with Your zeal. And most importantly, Father, help us to turn to You for wisdom, strength, and perseverance. We give you all the glory that you will accomplish through us.